Welcome to episode 29 of Carlene's Anime Corner, a St. John's County Library podcast. And Zoe, I'm glad to see you're back again today. How's your summer going so far?
It's very lazy. aside from like work and stuff, I have not been doing that much. Many days have been spent just sitting in the exact same spot in my room, which is my bed, and not moving for many hours at a time. So well, I am ashamed to say that I am not going to be very fit when fall runs around.
At least you ride your bike to places. That'll help.
I do ride the bike, but like whenever I ride my bike somewhere, it's usually to get food.
So, like, that kind of defeats the purpose?
A little bit.
That's like me going for a walk to McDonald's because it's only like a 20-minute walk from my house. And it's like, I defeated the entire purpose of this walk by drinking that milkshake.
Yeah, I only really bike to like this little sushi place on the corner of like where my neighborhood is, and to like a taco shop on St. George Street for some chips and queso, and that's in a quesadilla, and that's literally it.
Well, have you watched anything fun and nerdy lately? Or have you been just stuck on the anime we're going to talk about tonight?
Oh, no. I have a good recommendation. It's not anime, because I've been watching a limited amount of anime lately, mostly just one over and over and over.
Yeah.
But a new film on Netflix. It's a Korean sci-fi film called Space Sweepers. Mm-hmm. And it is unreasonably good.
Okay.
It's not perfect. There are a few plot holes, but like for what it is and for like how like hard it was to like actually come across, like I found it completely by accident. It's so good. It's like a mixture between like a space opera, a space western, and like a little bit of Blade Runner, a little bit of Star Wars.
Okay.
A little bit of dystopian in there.
Well, it's always fun to branch out and try things a little further
It's a Korean science fiction film, Space Sweepers. It's about 2 hours long.
Okay. Well, I've been watching, I got a show called Heart and Yummy on Blu-ray, and it's two movies and a TV series. So I'm currently on the second movie. I've only watched the first one. I think it's supposed to be for kids. It's about dinosaurs. There's a lot of dinosaurs eating each other, so I'm not sure how for kids it is. But,
okay, but like, are the dinosaurs bleeding when they're eating?
You can actually see like rib cages sticking out.
Ooh.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I mean, there's not really blood, but it's like you can definitely tell it's a dead body and they're eating on it.
Well, as long as there's no blood, it should get past the censors.
Yeah, but I decided that I better not terrify my nephew with it. So, which is the whole reason why I bought it, is because I was hoping to watch it with my nephew who's into dinosaurs. But
maybe stick to Godzilla or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to be enjoying, but I am enjoying it, so I'm glad I got it. It's kind of a little odd piece of anime, to be honest.
It looks kind of cute, though.
It does.
I saw the box art. It looks very cute.
Yeah.
But I also saw a picture of a T-Rex karate kicking another dinosaur.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so like,
yeah. Odd. As I said, very odd.
I'm intrigued.
If you're looking for more realistic dinosaurs, go for Land Before Time. If you're looking for
another movie that is got dinosaurs and is disguised as a kid's film.
Yeah, let's just say I watched that. That was my kind of cartoon when I was a kid, because the 80s was out to scare kids. Moving on, I'm glad we've been enjoying our movies this summer, but we are actually here to talk about one of the anime series that apparently has been captured your life for the last few weeks.
Ooh, yes. It's definitely one of my absolute tops in terms of, because it's very rare where I find a show that's like got like infinite rewatchability. This is one of those shows. It's just, every time I rewatch it, I see something new. It's just so nice.
I don't often rewatch a lot of anime because there's just so much of it out there, but I could definitely see myself when the second season's coming out in October, I will sit down and rewatch the first season before watching the second one. Because this show is worth watching a second time,
at least. Yes,
it is. If you guys didn't listen to last month's episode, we are going to be talking about Spy Family today, which just wrapped up a week or two from this recording.
I think it was last week.
Okay.
I think it was last week.
A little behind the scenes, we record a few weeks before the episode actually gets posted, so I have some time for editing and so on. Spy Family is this family drama that involves a lot more than just spies.
Psychics.
In a nutshell, Agent Twilight, the best spy that the Westalis has, is sent to Ostania. Sorry, I will not remember these names. I don't know why I've been having trouble remembering them. He's sent to Ostania, and as part of his cover, he needs to get a wife and child.
Operation Strix, it's called.
Because he has to try and get into contact with this gentleman named Desmond.
I think it's Donovan Desmond.
And his son goes to this prestigious school, and the only way to get close to him is to get close to his son and go to a certain social function.
Get to a social gathering, and the school's called the Eden College.
Yes.
It's like as fancy as you can get.
Very fancy. So... yeah, this entire first season of this anime, which was 12 episodes, is about him getting a family and that family going from being a fake family to, in some ways, a real one.
Yeah, they're like, they don't realize it, but they're actually getting, like, way closer to each other.
Now, they all have secrets that the others don't know. For instance, Agent Twilight, also known in the series as Lloyd Forger, is the super spy.
Brilliant last name, by the way. Forger.
Yeah, Forger. And the woman that he marries, in quotes, because I think the marriage certificate was forged, is
Yor Briar.
Yor is spelled Y-O-R. She is an assassin.
The Thorn Princess.
Yes. And yeah, that makes for some interesting things because he doesn't know she's an assassin. And she doesn't know that he's a spy. She thinks he's a psychiatrist.
Yeah, she thinks she's a therapist.
Now, the daughter that he adopts from an orphanage turns out to be a telepath. So she knows everybody's secrets, and it's just fun watching her reactions to everything.
Because here's the thing. She knows everyone's secrets, but she's also like 4 or 5 years old and thinks her
she's
parents...
She's in first grade. I figured it out. First grade.
She's in first grade. She thinks the fact that her parents are a spy and assassin is like the coolest thing ever. Yes. And she wants to help
them
out.
Well, her favorite cartoon is called Spy Wars. And so she thinks... But I love the fact that she constantly looks at Lloyd Forger and goes, Papa is a liar.
Papa is a liar, but he's a cool liar.
Yeah, yeah. And she's willing to help him out because he's doing his mission for world peace. So that is what Spy Family is. And I mean, there's not a whole ton of spoilers there because you learn all of this within like the first two episodes. The rest of the series is how everything...
Just plays out.
Just
like in the interactions between these characters and all the antics they get up to.
It does take place over in... Okay, help me out.
Oh, wait, did we say the name of the daughter, Anya?
Oh, Anya is the daughter's name. We did forget that. Thank you.
Her name is Anya.
Anya.
And she's adorable.
She is absolutely adorable.
I'm pretty sure her existence makes this series like propaganda for making you want to have a family.
Probably.
She's the cutest child alive.
So the story takes place in the capital of...
Berlin.
Have you noticed a Cold War feeling?
I mean, I kind of got that already from the James Bond style music and the jazzy soundtrack and the fact that all the architecture is like German inspired.
Well, and there's no cell phone, so it's definitely set in an older time period.
But like there's also other stuff. Like she has like fancy spy laptops and there are like, it's like the time period is a mishmash of modern day and like the 1960s and 70s.
And it is amazing. I love the feel of the show.
Yeah, the setting is really cool, and I'm 90% sure it's based off of Germany at some point, because the currency is called Dalks, which I'm pretty sure is reference to Franks.
Well, Franks are French.
Franks are also
Marks
French.
Marks are German. So
it's like a mixture, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's just they're doing a pseudo-Cold War setting.
It's like a hodgepodge of different countries, but it's very European.
So that is the show we're talking about. Before we get into more nitty-gritty details and truly spoil it all for you, Zoe, what would your rating for this series be so far?
4.9. 5 out of 5. Five.
You told me you were obsessed with this show. You said it took an obsession to get you to a 5.
I am. 5. I was trying to be funny. I got the reaction I wanted, though.
You did. Well, I'm going to give it a 5 as well. I really like this show. I think it's amazingly well done, and we will talk more about all the things I love about it.
It's the perfect mixture of dramatic, adorable, and cool.
And comedy.
The comedy is impeccable.
The comedy is great. Anyway, let us dive in. So we're going to go into a little bit more of a spoiler territory now. So we're going to talk maybe about certain scenes and the things that happen. So if you haven't seen the show, I highly recommend you go watch it at this point. It is available streaming, as far as I know, on Crunchyroll and Hulu. Not out on disc yet because it just finished airing. But this is when I think there's going to be a limited edition collection in my anime room.
I was debating, like, putting up a wish list or a wait list for a DVD or something whenever it comes out.
Real quick, just a little bit of background on this. Spy Family is based on a manga series of the same title. It's by, okay,
Tatsuya Endo.
I am working on my pronunciation. It's still very bad, but I'm trying. And we actually have it here in the library system. So I got a hold of volume one and I am very much looking forward to sitting down and reading it tonight. I'm the first one to check it out. So it's still crisp and new. So if you want to read the manga series and you happen to be in our area, we do have it for checkout. If you're not in our area, check your local public library. You never know. They might have it.
And if they don't, you could just, like, interlibrary loan it or something. Yeah, a lot of libraries have it.
And I'm not sure, actually, if it's on the in the Shonen Jump magazine. Because
It's got the label on it.
It's got the label, but I don't know if it's in their digital magazine or not. So I haven't checked yet. I highly recommend the manga, though, just leafing through it. The art style, they pretty much copied it directly for the anime series.
Yeah, it's, like, it's identical.
Yeah,
Some of the scenes in the manga are, like, literally, like, word for word, even the lines like match up completely.
Yeah, and just the way they did the characters and everything. So this seems to be a very faithful adaptation of the manga that we watched, which makes me happy when they're able to do that.
Like, I flipped through the book earlier, and I remember, I think episode one is literally like word for word, almost entirely the first chapter of the manga.
Oh, I have to ask, did you watch this dubbed or subbed?
I watched it subbed, and I watched episode one dubbed.
Okay, I have not watched any of the dub yet. I did watch it only subbed.
My rating for the dub, because I've been on a trend recently where I go through anime and kind of judge their dubs and their quality. The dub is, it's okay.
Okay.
Anya does not sound like a child. She sounds like a 40-year-old woman. And Lloyd sounds a little bit too, like, gruff for
okay.
Lloyd.
Because I really liked his voice in the Japanese
yours
one.
Yours fine.
Okay, I like Lloyd in the Japanese version a lot, in the narrator that they use.
If you want my verdict, go for the sub. The dub is okay, but, like, it's not anything special.
It doesn't have, like, a super great voice actor that you're just...
It doesn't have the level of quality that I've seen in other dubs, because there are quite a few dubs that I found are very good.
Okay.
But this one is just, it's mediocre. Mediocre at best. The only thing that bugs me is Anya. She does not sound like a child. Her voice is way too deep.
Well, children's voices are hard to do.
That's true.
I think the Japanese are better at that in a lot of ways. But also, they're in Japan, being a voice actor is, I think, of a much more importance than it's been in the States.
Yeah, I think they have, like, actual schools.
Yeah,
dedicated to voice acting.
And there's huge fan clubs for all the different voice actors and stuff like that.
I think the term is seiyus.
Mm-hmm, seiyu. And it's getting to be more so like that in the States because people are starting to actually recognize the importance of voice acting, but it's still a fairly new thing.
Like,
here.
There are anime dub celebrities like Bryce Papenbrook and Matt Mercer.
Mm-hmm.
And Kira Buckland is a current one right now.
But it wasn't until, like, as I said, fairly recently that somebody could sit down and go, oh, I recognize that voice actor from this, this, and this. That's a fairly new phenomenon, I think.
We only have a couple celebrities in the anime dubbing community right now, but they are there.
Yeah.
But back to the show.
Back to the show. All right. Opening. I love this opening.
I love it.
It's got a little bit of... It starts off with a little bit of that James Bond feel to it, which is so perfect.
It's so jazzy and, mm-hmm. and snappy. It's got that, like, really fast-paced drumming that just, like, I love it whenever shows do that.
But then it goes into a little bit more... they use, like... I don't know how to describe it. It's not... It's like silhouette animation, but it's done with all the colors, like it's a paper cutout.
It looks like they took, like, the animation style. It looks like it was got right from, like, a picture book.
Yeah.
Like a watercolor picture book, a children's book, where it's all simplified shapes and colors, but it looks really clean and smooth. There's even, like, brushstroke edges in some spots.
Yeah, so I I have to admit, both the opening and the ending were good. I'm a little bit more partial to the ending.
The ending is just,
I love that song. It's like a nice, chill, like...
It's like a lo-fi anime ending. It's like lo-fi jazz.
Yeah, and it's got a nice feel to it. I actually, for once, actually listened to the closing song every single episode that I watched.
And for an anime ending, the animation is so smooth.
There's a part where they're like, where Anya like put it concentrates on Anya, which I liked because it kind of, because she is a central character in this
and
series.
And I'm pretty sure the ending like goes into her story, like there's like meaning in it. Like it starts off in grayscale, but as soon as she meets her like new parents, it gets
color and everything. And I love the fact when she shoves them into the room and the lights changing, their outfits change and stuff, and it's just very smoothly done. And it's a really
like there's
good
a
ending.
Scene where they're just walking, where they're walking together and like doing like little happy faces, and then when Anya gets on Lloyd's shoulders, and then Yor like pushes them into the apartment where they live, with like really smooth transition, all their clothes change, they're dancing in the living room,
it's just
they're eating dinner at the
table.
It's
a very happy ending, and I really like it.
And like the lyrics of the ending are like talking about how nice having a family is, like mm-hmm. all the little questions, like what are we having for dinner, what are we gonna do tomorrow. And it's just like, it's really sweet and wholesome.
As I said, it's rare that I like an ending more a bit. The opening is good.
The opening is
the
jazzy,
opening is good,
snappy, fast, colorful.
I think the ending wins by a smidge.
Just by a little bit.
Just by
for,
a little
just
bit.
Just for pure vibes. Yeah. It was like the same for me with Dr. Stone, where I liked the ending more than the opening. Mm-hmm.
So the opening
but this
wasn't
one, it's
bad.
Close.
But,
it's close. Yeah.
So we were talking about how this is kind of a pseudo Cold War spy film, and why do you think they chose to set it in more of a past setting versus a present setting?
Probably because like the lack of technology means they have to do a lot of like espionage the old-fashioned way. Like they can't just like hack into someone's like a voicemail
so
or something like that.
So you wind up with a lot more action where
a lot more physical action. Like they actually have to bug things. They have to like mm-hmm. sneak into physical areas, not just like hack into security cameras.
It also gave me a bit of a Mission Impossible vibe because they constantly are doing the "I'm wearing a mask, rip it off" thing.
Yeah, they have like rubber masks and stuff that are like perfectly.
Because that's why he's called Agent Twilight. And the thing is that nobody's supposed to know what he really looks.
No one
like.
Knows his real name or real face.
Yeah, which you're pretty sure Lloyd Forger is not his real name.
No.
So we still don't know his real name, even though we know his real face.
But we could just call him Lloyd.
Yeah, Lloyd.
I like the name Lloyd. It's very interesting.
I like the spelling they did.
L-O-I-D?
Yeah, I've not seen that before. Usually I think it's spelled like L-O-Y-D.
I think it's L-L-O-Y-D. Double L.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, I like the way they spelled it. I thought that was
kind of
cool. I
think it's like maybe a kind of a play on the word noid, like null and void.
Oh, that could be. I hadn't thought of that.
I just realized it.
I was too busy having fun with the Berlint and East
and
West Berlint.
Austania, Westalis.
Austania, Westalis. But I don't think they're going for like a communist versus capitalist.
It's more
vibe
like just like two
because,
countries.
Like, yeah, it's like two countries that are, because we never actually see Westalis.
There's
all
not
that
really
much.
Like political, not like ideologies at war. It's just like governments at war.
Well, or if there's an ideology at war, they haven't really shown that to us in this series. They do show that there is a lot of suspicion, though, between in the East where they're living, because at one point, the reason why Yor has to get married is because
they've been like arresting
single women.
Women
because that's suspicious. And I'm
and
like,
there's also the existence of the secret police,
yeah,
which is a little concerning.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some and
like there are multiple scenes where you just see people getting arrested because they're like being they're suspected of being a spy.
Yeah, and it's just a lot of huge air of like suspicion going on with stuff like that. And I think that's part of why they went for that pseudo Cold War, because the Cold War was very much that, you know, anybody
you know,
could be a
you
spy.
You couldn't trust who anybody.
Yeah, or you know, Cold War was also the time when
the Red Scare,
but I was thinking there was a guy who made a poison-tipped umbrella to do an assassination. Like weird gadgets like that were actually being invented during the Cold War.
Yeah, like I think there was like a one dude had listening devices in his shoelaces.
I don't remember.
I read that somewhere.
Okay,
it stuck with me for a long time.
See, mine is just the poison-tipped umbrella that they designed, where it's like he could like pull this trigger and the poison needle came out and to kill a guy.
Well, anyway, he does have a couple gadgets like that.
Let's just say during the Cold War, things happened that you would think weren't real. And that's why I think that's part of why they probably picked this as kind of a pseudo Cold War era type feel to it. Because it has that suspicion, that secret police, and just spy gadgets.
It reminds me of another one, a pair of shoes that had like backward facing soles. Like where if you walk,
I think I remember hearing about that one.
If you walk around in like mud or something, it looks like you're walking backwards. because the souls and stuff like that now, are the other direction.
I have a weird feeling that was in some kid's book I read, so I'm not sure if that one's real.
I'm pretty sure it was, though. I think I remember seeing like a museum of like espionage, because I used to watch a show called Mysteries at the Museum, and it was really cheesy. And there was a museum that had like spy equipment and stuff, and those were in there.
Okay.
Along with the poison-tipped umbrella and the shoelaces.
It's kind of a fun, as I said, fun thing. So one of the things we also liked about this show, other than the setting and the animation and the music and the vibe and everything, is also the comedy that was in here. Because it sounds like this serious spy drama. Like, he has to go do this Operation Strix, meet this guy, and try to, like, avert a war between their two countries. And you would think, this is going to be a serious anime with these, you know, serious spies and this and that. I think there was an episode that went by that I didn't giggle or laugh at something.
Okay, I think the main reason it's so unreasonably funny, though, is because you have Lloyd, a serious, serious spy. He never trusts anybody, and he has to take care of a first grader who can read his mind and know all of his secrets.
But she's not telling him that she can read his mind.
She's not telling him she can read his mind, because that's some kind of trauma or something like that. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, but we don't really know her backstory, but it's not good.
But the thing with Lloyd is he's serious, and literally, day one of having a child, he has Anya for like 2 days, and he's already stressed out of his mind.
Well, because he's one of those people that he can see every angle. He has a plan for everything that happens. He can't plan for Anya.
No, he can't.
She is chaos incarnate.
Like, he overthinks everything. And then she just, like, upends all of his carefully rooted plans. Well, one of the running gags is him coming up with this really detailed plan. It looks like it'd go really smoothly. And then Anya immediately screws it up.
And he's just like, well, there goes plan B and plan A. Oh, dear.
Like, I think one of the, in the opening, there's a scene where it has, like, an X over a stomach. I think that means, like, I remember reading somewhere that's there because Lloyd is literally so stressed, he's developing stomach ulcers.
Okay, I was actually kind of wondering about that. So
yeah,
maybe
it's in the manga. I remember seeing a page where he's literally getting so, like, worn out and stressed from having to deal with this child and his fake wife and the mission at the same time, and all these other missions the Wise keeps sending him. Because the company he works for is called Wise. He's literally developing stomach ulcers from how stressed he is. And I think every episode ends with him looking as drained as humanly possible. He is just not having a good time.
The last episode in particular, he was so exhausted, even Yor was like, are you sure you don't want to lie down and take a rest?
Like, I think he almost passes out a couple times.
Yeah.
And he does actually faint. Like, when he realizes Anya got into the school, he literally, like, falls down, and Anya thinks he's dead.
Yeah.
Because he just passes out in the grass.
But, yeah, I love the fact that Lloyd is finally shoved onto ground. He does not know what he's doing. But he's a surprisingly good father, despite all this.
Because he's, like, not treating her like a child.
Well, and what's
interesting... Kind of.
He does and he doesn't at the same time. But what I love is he starts getting a little bit bullying with her, and then he realizes, no, I can't do that. She's a child. She's not. And I love the fact he stops himself and reevaluates.
Like, there's a scene where he tries to force her into studying, and after a talk with Yor, we should talk about Yor at some point,
yes,
because she's my favorite
character. I was going to bring her up in...
the next one. Come.
Yeah, hang on. Just keep going.
But, like, he talks about, and he realizes he's been pushing her a bit too hard. So he realized he should just take a step back, and then he goes to, like, propose to, like, they watch her favorite TV show together, have some dinner, just, like, relax for a bit, even though he knows that he needs to get her to, like, study, or else she won't get into the school. And then when he goes into the room and he finds out that she fell asleep on her textbooks, and he tucks
trying
her into
study.
Bed, it's...
Oh, yeah, and it's just...
My heart.
It is so sweet. And so things like that, though, because nobody's watching him, you know he's doing that as him, not because he's trying to portray the perfect father to the neighbors.
Because here's one more thing. I remember seeing in his backstory, he said the reason he became a spy is that so that no more children would ever have to cry again.
Which makes you think something really bad happened in
his
childhood.
Yeah, we saw, like, flashbacks of him in, like, a war-torn city where he's, like, all alone.
Which I think that's why he's so dedicated to stopping this war, is because it seems like his, like, where he lived was bombed or something.
And he wants to make a world where children won't ever have to cry.
Yeah. Okay. So, important question here. What was your favorite comedic point in this series because there's so many good ones.
Okay. Before we get into that, we need to talk about Yor because she is directly part of it and we haven't talked about her at all yet.
Okay, because I have to admit she is a part of my favorite
one. She is
one,
a part of many of these because, oh, she's so great.
So Yor's an assassin.
A professional assassin who only knows assassination.
She is very good at assassinating. Oh, and cleaning because she has
and
to clean
cleaning.
Up afterwards.
She's good at
so
cleaning.
She can't cook. She can't do anything else, but she is very good at assassination.
And she's also really not good at being like
a normal person.
A normal person. Because literally all she knows is cleaning and killing.
Yep. And I find it fascinating because we're actually not 100% sure who exactly she works for. Like, she works for somebody called the shopkeeper. But we don't know who they are, where they fit into the whole picture, or anything like that. All we know is she gets a phone call, and she goes, and she kills somebody.
Okay, but here's the thing. You think Yor would be, like, cruel or intense because she's killed.
No, but she's really nice.
She's unreasonably nice. She's naive. She's
the
barely
only
innocent.
Time she has come close to killing somebody that was not one of her targets was either because they were bullying Anya or the purse snatcher. She tried to kill him.
Oh, and because they were either bullying or threatening Anya, snatched a purse, or she needed Anya to get into the school, so she thought about killing one of the people who did get in so she could get Anya in the school.
Yeah, but she seemed a little reluctant to do that, so I think that was her conscience
like
saying that maybe killing a child just so your child can get into the school is not a good
like
idea.
Like, she was picturing all, like, how she would do it, and then Anya's just standing behind her seeing all of this because she can
That's
read her mind.
That's the best part, because Anya can read Yor's mind, so every time Yor starts having these bloody thoughts about killing people,
like she tries
Anya just gets this look on her face like, oh my God.
Oh my, like there's a scene where she's trying to figure out fractions and she compares it to dismembering a corpse.
But then well, she gets, dismembering like, a gingerbread
dismembering
man.
Dismembering a gingerbread man. But then she like gets distracted because she's like, oh wait, the head's a limb. But wait, also the number 5 looks kind of like the number S. Because like you're, I don't want to call her stupid,
she's,
but like she's
not academically inclined.
She's not academically inclined and she's a bit of, does the word bimbo kind of count? A little
yeah,
bit.
Not really.
Like, not really.
Not really.
She's like, she's very out there. She's not exactly
She's a bit of an airhead.
She's a bit of an airhead, and she's unreasonably sweet for an assassin. Mm-hmm. But, like, she's also, like, occasionally does things like, my favorite part, because she's also, like, inhumanly strong.
Yes.
That's, like, partially, half of her comedy is just that she is inhumanly strong.
Well, she accidentally broke her brother's ribs when they were younger by hugging him.
And then Anya hears about this because she confessed and runs away from her because she was holding Anya's hand. And she's like, well, one time I broke my brother's ribs when I hugged him too hard. And then Anya just runs and hides behind a plant.
Yeah.
But like my back to the favorite comedic scene. Mm-hmm. It's the scene in the last episode where they go to an aquarium. And there's a guy that Twilight or Lloyd is trying to capture because he has, like, information. So, and then Anya, being Anya, tries to help by stopping the guy. But because she's, like, 6 years old.
And tiny.
She just kind of grabs onto his coat and gets pulled along.
She's waving like a flag behind him.
And she weighs nothing. But there's this guy and he's running. Anya's waving behind him. And then Anya sees Yor and yells, help, I'm being kidnapped. So Yor's first thing she does is runs up. Kicks the guy in the chin so hard he flies into the ceiling.
And all you
sticks.
See are his legs hanging
he
down.
He sticks to the ceiling. Anya goes, wow. And then Lloyd, in disguise, walks by. He sees a man dangling from the ceiling. And all he says is,
wow.
And not even just like, wow. Like, wow.
He just says, wow. And the thing is, Lloyd is very smart. He's very used to everybody deceiving him. And he does get suspicious of Yor at one point, but not for being an assassin.
He sees her do all these feats
of
strength.
And
like
never,
she's just
like, oh yeah, I took yoga and some martial arts.
Like she attacks the pressure points of a rampaging cow and knocks it out. And she's like, oh, I took yoga and learned about pressure points. And Lloyd doesn't question it.
Yeah.
She kicks a guy into the ceiling. Lloyd so just thinks it's okay.
But her brother shows up and he's part of the secret police, unbeknownst to Yor.
Yeah.
And he instantly is suspicious of Yor.
He immediately pegs Yor's brother as a secret police member, but can't peg Yor as not what she actually
yeah.
is.
So, as I said, that's why I'm thinking that he might secretly, he won't admit it. Well, and you kind of see it in the show as it goes. He does have feelings for her
because he
really doesn't want to see that she's not exactly what she says she
because
is.
Because there's in an episode where he suspects her of being, like, in cohorts with the secret police, he feels guilty. realizing she doesn't know anything. He feels guilty about it and even makes up with her in a roundabout kind of way.
Yeah, yeah.
I did
like the double wow after
she kicks the guy into the ceiling.
Particularly since I was watching in Japanese, and it's just there's something kind of funny about hearing Japanese wow.
And another good scene is when she's trying to teach Anya self-defense, and she's just teaching Anya how to punch people. And then she tries to teach Anya how to play dodgeball, and she throws a ball so hard it smashes through like four trees.
I thought it was like six trees because it went down the whole street.
It went down the whole street. And she's just like doing these incredible feats of strength. And only Anya is the only one who's suspicious. Yeah. Well, and Anya thinks it's cool too.
Yeah, Anya thinks it's cool, but it's also a little bit scared at times because it's like... Well, okay, my favorite episode does have a little bit of Yor in it, but I think it's a little bit more Lloyd at the end. And that was episode 5. So Anya gets into the college.
Eden College.
And so Lloyd is like, well, you know, okay, we'll go ahead and do a prom.
We'll celebrate.
And apparently Anya wants to go to the castle where her Spy Wars cartoon is filmed. And Lloyd's little informant friend tells him,
Frankie
tells him, or Scruffy Head, as they call him in this episode.
Or Unky.
They find out that it's been turned into an amusement park, pretty much. And so they rent the castle for the night. And they all fly up there. And Anya's like, well, it's not any fun without any people, because there's nobody there but them. So apparently...
They do
this call, and every agent within, I don't know, 60 miles comes flooding into this castle, and it becomes a castle full of spies.
And they're all like disguised as like party guests and henchmen stuff.
And then, apparently they do this whole enactment where Frankie pretends to kidnap
Princess Anya,
and Lloyd has to be dressed up as Bond Man
or Lloyd Man, as they call him,
from her Spy Wars show and rescue her. And there's explosions. There's the most epic Nerf ball fight ever. I don't think I've seen a fight scene this good since One Punch Man, which is sad because the animation is spectacular and it's a Nerf ball fight.
They're like literally throwing like giant colorful like ball pit balls at him.
Yeah, but Lloyd like shoots the guns out of their hands, and then he's like double like guns with them, and it's like it's a fantastic fight, but it's Nerf balls. It's fantastic.
And there's a part where she's drunk throughout the whole thing.
Oh yeah, they gave her a bottle of wine.
Whenever Yor gets drunk, she gets like
after the Nerf ball scene. My second part was when Yor is like the final boss, and
she's like the evil witch,
and she starts. She beats the complete stuffing out of Lloyd, and he's like, I thought you're a witch. They're not supposed to hit people. And I'm like, and you're he's not suspicious that there's anything weird about this girl.
Your fake wife is literally kicking you so hard your gloves are tearing apart. And you're not suspicious?
And then
she almost knocks him out. She makes him bleed. Mm-hmm. And then she just passes out drunk.
She makes him bleed without even touching him because she does a kick motion. She does all this in high heels. She does a kick motion. The wind from the kick actually cuts his cheek.
And then she slips and she trips and then passes out drunk.
Yeah.
And then Lloyd's like, are you okay? Even though she literally probably would have killed him or something.
Probably. But yeah.
And he's still not suspicious.
Well, he somehow managed to propose to her. This is my next favorite. Not so comedic. I mean, it is comedic, but...
It's comedic, but it's also dramatic.
It's also dramatic. It's a good demonstration of the mix. He's going after these art thieves. Somehow runs into Yor. I can't remember. It's been like a week and a half.
He was posing as her boyfriend at a party
she went to.
He was driving her home, and then the art thieves started chasing him.
Right.
So they get in like a little pseudo car chase, kind of.
He had a ring he was going to give her when he proposed marriage, the fake marriage, but he lost it. So... These thieves are chasing him stuff. He gets a grenade, pulls the grenade, throws it at the art thieves, and while they're behind the shelter with, you know, bombs going off and
there's an explosion.
He's sitting there and doing the marriage proposal with the ring from the grenade.
It's just the grenade pin as a wedding ring.
And the thing is, Yor doesn't blink twice.
No,
she's like, nope, there's nothing suspicious about this psychiatrist throwing grenades.
She's even blushing a little bit.
Yes.
She's embarrassed.
Oh, it's showing.
She thinks Lloyd is so nice and attractive and kind.
It's amazing.
She's like, and literally, she sees Lloyd doing it. She sees Lloyd like fighting off villains, and she's like, man, being a psychiatrist must be stressful. Because he tries to play off.
Saying their patient's having a psychotic episode.
He's trying to play off the art thieves trying to kill him by saying they're former patients.
I love the fact he's knocking them out, and she's like, well, isn't that dangerous? And he's like, oh no, it's concussion therapy. And I love the fact they flash up in big letters, this is not a real thing on the anime.
And also, when Lloyd first meets during this art thief thing, she literally kicks a guy so hard he flies all the way across the alley and smacks into a wall.
And all he does
and she's
is
like, I took self defense classes.
And he's like, okay, good job. And anyway.
They're literally running away from gunfire.
The only thing that I think is a little bit off kilter in the show is how much Lloyd does not question the fact that Yor can do all this crazy physical stuff.
I'm pretty sure it's because he's a little bit in love with her. Just a little bit, and it might be blocking out these things. Like, you know, seeing through, like, red-tinted glasses.
The comedy in the show is just perfect. It was really well done.
There's one more character I would like to mention. Yor's brother, Yuri Breyer. He is...
he is weird.
He's weird, but, like, I don't think he's, like, bad. Because the way I choose to interpret him is he's obsessed with Yor.
Well, and I feel like in some way they have twisted him into being the secret police and doing all these horrible things because they're saying you're protecting your sister, you're protecting the world your sister
lives
in.
Because he's insanely devoted to his sister.
Yeah, he'll do anything for her. And as I said, I feel really, really kind of bad for him because I think he could have been something so much better because they show that he's really smart. He's really good at his schoolwork and things like that when they're doing flashbacks with him and Yor. So I am really curious because he already doesn't like Lloyd because Lloyd married his sister. So I am very, very curious in the second season. Does he find out Lloyd is a spy for the other country? Because
I don't think he ever will. I don't think he ever will.
I don't know.
Because listen. When Yuri comes over, that is the most disastrous first meeting, by the way. Like, he finds out, like, he tries to, like, press Yor for all these details. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, do you call him by nicknames? Do you call him Lloydy or Loy Loy? And then she's like, and doesn't respond. He goes, Lloydy, no! And then just starts drinking, like, chugs wine. He's
no,
like screaming.
These are adults who don't know how to handle things very well.
No, these are siblings. They're both, like, overreactive, but in different ways.
Yeah.
Also, when there's a scene that's very well animated, shockingly so, where Yuri tries to get Lloyd and Yor to prove their marriage by having them kiss.
They do more cliffhangers with that kiss.
Yeah.
And then it never happens.
And it never happens because Yor panics out, gets embarrassed, and slaps Yuri across the room so hard he flies into a wall.
He goes to the hospital and literally can't remember what happened.
Like, she smacks him into a wall, and he stands up, and there's, like, blood spurting out of his head. And he refuses to, like, see a doctor.
Well, and I love the fact he leaves the house, and he's like, he asks for directions to a bus stop from these people, and they go, and you just see little blood squirts coming out of his head, and like people are like, don't you need a
hospital? Go to a hospital first. One scene that I thought is kind of underappreciated is when he's leaving their house, their apartment, he's like yelling things at Lloyd that I'll keep watching over you, but then as he's running, he just runs right into the opposing wall, falls over, and then just keeps running because he's like dazed out of his mind.
Apparently, it was a good thing that happened, though they got dazed, because you hear later on that if he had been thinking straight, he would have bugged their whole apartment.
Because he's a little obsessed and a little freaking.
Just a little obsessed with his sister. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap things up. So the second season is coming out in October. I'm very much looking forward to it because this was a great show. Thank you so much for recommending it, Zoe. It was on my list to watch, but I'm glad you bumped it up higher. Because
it's so good. Yeah. And we haven't even started on some of these other characters. There are plenty of other characters we haven't talked about.
There's a lot of other things going on. There's like Damien and all her classmates. And then, is it Henry Henderson?
Her school the schoolmaster Henderson.
Yeah.
Eleganto is
yes,
when
Mr.
he's
Mr.
Like,
elegant. But there is so much to talk about with this show. But we're going to have to wrap it up now.
Yeah, we've been talking for too long.
Yeah, we're not going to go forever. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Zoe, and I hope you have as much fun watching next month's anime as we did with this one.
I'm so glad you like Spy Family. I was really hoping you would love this
one. I'm looking forward to reading the manga too.
Yeah, I kind of want to get a jump start in the new season.
So thank you for listening to Zoe and I talk about Spy Family today. If you have any thoughts or comments, you can email us in the at the email address that's in our show notes. And if you have any recommendations for future things for us to watch, go ahead and send them on in. And Zoe, do you have any closing thoughts you want to say?
Watch Spy Family. It's funny and it's good and the vibe is immaculate. Also, if you have other time after that, Space Sweepers. I'm recommending this one again. Good film. Very fun.
Well, I'm going to second that. Definitely check out Spy Family because it is one of the best animes of this summer.
It is. I firmly believe it's unreasonably good.
And if you can get a hold of it, Heart and Yummy. I mean, some weird dinosaurs, but it was fun.
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us all today. And
have a good summer.
Yeah, have a great summer. And
enjoy the rest of it.
Watch a ton of anime.
Yeah.
Bye.